are listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
I'm going to say something, and I'm going to say something in absolute humility, and I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this to honor me or yay me or anything like that. This isn't a toot my horn thing. But I just got off an extended fast. Nikki said, "You look little." It's because I didn't eat for 40 days. I just turned 34, and the Holy Spirit said, spend the last 40 days of being 33 killing flesh. And I tell you what I fasted for 40 days. I had a list of things. And number four on my list, every day, twice a day, I had strict instructions of the Holy Spirit to get up in the morning and pray at night, twice a day for 40 days. And do you know what I fasted for? And do you know what I prayed for? I prayed for Chicago. And you don't gotta clap, because what's gonna happen is what's on me is gonna get on you. And I debated to tell you this before I ministered or at the end, but there is something about the city of Chicago. There is something about this place that there's either gonna be revival or riots. I saw a vision of riots in the street of this city and young people dying. What'd you say? What'd you say? Who said it? Unless there's mercy. Lift your hands all over this place. Father, tonight, teach us your mercy culture. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come. We acknowledge your presence. Father, we intercede for the city of Chicago. We intercede for the young people of this city. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit in this place to pour out your spirit in that place, in those streets. Father, I pray, I put a demand on that fast. I put a demand on every prayer. I pray in Jesus' name tonight that there is fruit that begins to produce. I declare not one prayer dropped to the ground. I declare not one word falls to the ground, but I pray right now that it rests on young people. I pray, Father, that you would pour out your spirit, and I pray that what men got in the way of, I pray that they cannot stop the move of the spirit that's coming to this city in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand. Teach us your mercy in Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Little more in the monitor, if possible. It says, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked humbly on his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he is mighty and has done great things, and holy," someone say holy, "holy is his name." Look at verse 50. "And his mercy is for those who fear them from generation to generation." The title of this message is Mercy Generation. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. We declare, let your word go forward and accomplish all that it set out to do. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
It started in 2014. Pastor Battle and I were talking about it in the green room. And the Lord gave me a message on righteousness and then told me to give it away. A lot of preachers don't like other people preaching their stuff. And the Holy Spirit said, this next generation of ministers need to be ministering on righteousness. He said, give it away. So I had 27 different messages that I preached around the country on righteousness. That was in 2014. 2015, the Lord said, it's a year of deliverance. God gave me a revelation that deliverance is when your flesh follows your spirit. That's why majority of people don't live in deliverance. Listen, we sang about freedom. Freedom is instantaneous, but you have to walk in deliverance. If you're walking in the flesh, you will not live in deliverance. Then last year, the Holy Spirit said it's the year of giants. See, David was delivered from lions and bears before he took on his nation's giants. You're not going to take on Chicago's giants when you're dealing with lions and bears on your computer at night. You're not going to take on principalities in Chicago when you're bound from Friday night through Sunday night. You experience personal deliverance. That's why you should be laying hands on people when there's things inside you that you don't want to get on other people. It's a year of giants. The giant the Lord had me take on last year was a giant of homosexuality and sexual confusion and perversion. The giant the Lord had my wife take on was human trafficking. There's giants in the land. How do you know if it's a giant? Because you're intimidated by it. Because as soon as you go to say something, all of a sudden that anxiety starts beating out of your chest. Do you know you don't need medication for anxiety? That's witchcraft. Well, you thought witchcraft was just in Brazil and South America and in India, but it wasn't in America. No, witchcraft is in Chicago. You got to discern it. There's a heaviness on this city. I don't know, maybe because you just live it. I've come here 5 times, flown here just to pray. I'm telling you, I feel in my spirit. If Chicago falls, America will fall. I'm prophesying. Did you hear what I said? If Chicago breaks, if Chicago bows its knees to Jesus, America will bow its knee to Jesus. There is a stronghold. Guys, I'm not saying this facetiously. When David asked me to come, I said, yes. I'll pay my way. I'll do whatever it takes. I have to be in this city because I've been interceding for this city. I told my admin, whoever invites me from Chicago, no questions asked, I'm going, because there's something about this city that I have to be here. There's something here that must be released, because if mercy is released tonight, maybe this generation will fall. I'm getting ahead of myself. Tonight's going to be an insane night. What is mercy? Mercy is the divine goodness exercised toward the wretched and the guilty in perfect harmony with the demands of truth and justice. What the heck does that mean? It means mercy is the only thing that can fix it. I was praying in an upper room prayer room last August. We do prophetic conferences around the country. I asked the Lord, I said, where's the next prophetic conference? And Pastor David, I thought it was going to be in Miami. And I went to close my eyes to pray, and I had a vision of a downtown Chicago. And then all hell is trying to keep me from this city. There's something that must be unlocked. I feel like God, what should begin the process tonight with a mercy generation? But you need to hear this. I didn't come to preach tonight. I came to prophesy. The only thing that can do it is mercy. The only thing that can fix it is mercy.
The only thing that can heal Chicagoland is mercy. How are you going to repair 400 years of injustice? How are you going to fix hundreds of years of it's not my problem and it's not my fault? Take it up with my grandparents. How are you going to fix that? Huh?
I'm just going to prophesy. Civil rights won't fix it. Because we can't stop at civil rights. It has to be civil righteousness. It has to be heaven's justice. It has to be, watch, that I am motivated. I am compelled, watch, not by man's laws, not by a motivational speech, not by a politician, watch, but I feel something burning inside me. I feel the heart of my Father burning. Watch, I feel what breaks his heart.
You say, Landon, why'd you write a book on homosexuality? Not because I wanted to win friends and influence people. If I would have wrote a book that said it's cool to be gay, I would have been on Oprah. I would have been on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And they would have said, hey, entire world, listen to this skinny jean preacher. But because I wrote a book that said this is the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path, hide his word in your heart so that you won't sin against it, they say that's hate speech. The battle is won in the heavenlies first.
Can I be real tonight? I was nervous because I watched in here and I'm watching Ryan, Pastor Ryan, Brother Ryan, Minister Ryan, Apostolic Leader Ryan. I'm watching him give his all, and I'm watching you watch him. And then that, now I'm grieved. I'm grieved that if a certain beat plays, You'll tap your feet, you'll get into it, but you really do even more when your favorite radio station plays it.
But they don't talk nothing about God. See, it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they say, when I play the music, a generation will bow down.
How could you possibly worship when you're living in that kind of sin? You can't. You can't. Them demons that you allow in your home won't let you. Those demons that you welcome into your room on Netflix won't let you. That demon on Pandora won't let you. Those demons that you allow to reign, rule, and reign through your iPhone. Better to cut out your iPhone then allow it to cast you into hell.
Where's my text?
And mercy for those who fear him in this generation.
Throw that text up, please. Luke 1:50. Where is somebody that fears God in this generation? Where is somebody? No. I didn't say, do you fear God in a church service when you feel the anointing that's been birthed in this place for decades? I'm saying, where is your fear of God on Friday night? Where is the fear of the Lord this summer when your holler at me girl calls you back? Where's the fear of God this summer when you tell his parents that you're spending the night at your friend's house, but you really go to his house? Where is the fear of God when nobody else is there?
You don't make a landing pad for the glory at a youth conference. You make a landing pad for the glory when no one else is around, when you're all by yourself, when it's just you, God, right and wrong. Where's the fear of the Lord?
You know why there's no fear of the Lord? Because people are misteaching grace.
Majority of people are accrediting to grace what is really mercy. Can I tell you what mercy is? Mercy is loving kindness. Watch, mercy is God's kindness. Mercy, simplified, is this. It's undeserved kindness. You know where I got that definition? The Holy Ghost gave it to me. And then I read it in my daughter's kid Bible. It's undeserved kindness. You know what it means? It means you didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. Listen, mercy is the sinner's best friend, not grace. David, 1 Chronicles 21 and in 2 Samuel, they say it both times. Majority of people think that David's greatest sin was sleeping with a married woman or killing her husband. The Facebook theologian says, oh, David didn't actually kill him. You're right. He was conspiracy to murder. Thanks, bro. Watch. His greatest sin, I would have thought, people are like, I just want to be like David. How many Davids in here do you want? I'm like, not me. I'm a prophetic guy. I'm like, that was a murdering, lying, cheating, adulterer. I want to be like Joshua. I want to be like never sinned, never failed, never stumbled. At the end of his life, God said, choose a city. It's yours. Watch, David's greatest sin wasn't adultery or murder. His greatest sin was counting the people in church. What? See, that didn't make sense to me. How do you know that was his greatest sin? Well, because when he committed adultery and conspiracy to murder, two people died. When he directly disobeyed God and counted the children of Israel, 70,000 died. Why was it the greatest sin? Because in Exodus, God specifically told Moses, never number the children of Israel. Why? He said, because I don't want you counting on people. I want you counting on me. Young people, if you're taking notes, write this down. Disobedience will always lead you into the greatest sin. But watch this. Moses, or David, after he commits the greatest sin of his life, do you know what he says? I love God's word. He said, let me fall into the hands of a merciful God. Hear this. Mercy is when you fall. Mercy is the sinner's best friend. Mercy is the perfect prayer when no other words will do, when nothing else will suffice. Mercy is the cry that turns heaven. Luke chapter 18, there was a blind man. Another gospel calls him Bartimaeus, had a gate called Beautiful. And the Bible says that he cried out to Jesus, or he shouted to Jesus. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. And the people around him told him to shut up. If you read the Greek, they admonished him. They said, we don't want a blind, poor beggar. Shut up. We deal with you all the time. We give you money every day. Get out of the way. We are trying to get to Jesus. Watch this. And everybody is saying teacher. Everybody is saying rabbi. Everybody is saying prophet. Everybody is saying Jesus. But one man is crying mercy. And you can't just read the Bible for young people. Please just start reading. And after you read it, then you got to start reading. Because the Bible said that he stopped shouting and he started crying. What's the difference between a shout and a cry? A cry is a shout with no flesh. Ah, the Lord's been having me take shofars and go around the country and blow shofars. And to anyone who's under 60, that's weird. I'd go to San Francisco to the Castro District where they got the biggest rainbow flag you've ever seen in your entire life. And we would go to the Castro District and we would blow a shofar into the flag. A pastor said, do you understand what you're doing? You're waging war. I said, yes, sir. I'd get on an airplane and the stewardess goes, what is that? Is that a weapon? I said, yes, it is. A shofar, watch, is God's weapon. A shofar, watch, is a spiritual sound of victory. The blast of shofar is what released angels to tear down Jericho. The blast of shofar is what confused the enemy and caused blindness that dispatched angels' armies. Watch, but your shabak shout is the vocal equivalent to the shofar. Do you know how they made shofars?
they would take a ram's horn and they would rip it from the head of the ram. And they would take it and they would place it outside. And they would leave it alone. And they would wait for the flesh to die. There's a couple saints in this house. And when the flesh had died off of it, it became an instrument of war. See, you shout for stupid teams. You shout for professionals that don't honor or love Jesus. You shout for politicians. You shout for celebrities that defame our God. You shout for a lot of things. But watch, a cry is a shout that doesn't have flesh on it. It's when your spirit pushes back your flesh, and it's when your spirit gets a hold of God. When I told you to give God a 10 times greater praise, someone started crying. Pastor David said, worship changes atmospheres. The shout breaks them. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. I was on an Indian reservation one time, the Crow Indian Reservation, and I saw a principality sitting over the region. And I was with a group of pastors, and I said, we're going to Shabak shout. I said, does anyone have a shofar? And some ninja dude pulled out like seven of them. I'm like, go gadget, where'd you get that? I said, they're gonna blow shofars and we're gonna cry. And I'm telling you, this room exploded with the glory of God. I believe what I saw God do on that Indian reservation is what needs to happen in this city, where we begin to launch principalities of hate, principalities of anger, principalities of murder off this region, off this land. There's this spiritual confusion and apathy, and we start seeing the Spirit of God flow from church to church and vessel to vessel. Mercy is a sinner's best friend. Mercy demands the attention of heaven. The young man cried, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. And Jesus turned. He said, what do you want? What do you need? Mercy turns the attention of God. Our text today, I got to hurry. I had a lot more, but we're out of time. Luke chapter 1, verse 50. It's talking about a mercy generation. But the backdrop to the mercy generation, or the song of Mary, is Mary's meeting of Elizabeth and Jesus in the womb of Mary meeting John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth. The backdrop of the text is this. Mary is cousins to Elizabeth. And they hadn't seen each other in a long time. But scripture says that when Mary walked into the room, watch, and Jesus was in the womb of Mary, and when Elizabeth heard the sound of greeting, when she heard a sound in the spirit, there's something about a sound. There's something about your words. There's a power if you can learn how to tap into spirit things. That's why I feel like I need to just hammer this tonight. That's why the enemy has you drunk on a secular sound. Pastor, I just like the beat. You think we're all that dumb? If you just like the beat, then how come you know all the lyrics? No. The enemy has created a sound that muffles out the voice of the Lord. Because you've welcomed a sound that's ungodly. You've welcomed a spirit that is ungodly. You've welcomed demonic forces that are ungodly. You can't hear the sound. This generation is spiritually tone deaf. That's why it's so important to be in the Word. Because even when you can't hear, the Word creates a sound. Watch. Mary just greeted her. And here's what the word of God says. It says the baby, or John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
I love this text. What I love is the Holy Spirit is taking over without permission.
What I love about this text is that just through conversation, watch, just through godliness, watch, just through a right heart and a contrite spirit, watch, the Spirit of God is moving from one person to another person, watch, and when John the Baptist is in the womb, he's filled with the Spirit of God.
There's going to be a mass baptism of the Holy Spirit in this house tonight. My daughter was 2 years old. We're sitting in a car, and it was about 9:30 at night, and she was fussy, so like a good parent, I gave her my iPhone. And she turns on Jesus Culture's Fill Me Up. Personally, there's a new version I like a little better. Who's that girl that sings that other version? Tasha, take me in. Sometimes I get so grieved when the song's over. And she starts worshiping. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Little two-year-old. Fill me up. And all of a sudden I notice, Father, she's asking you to fill her. And I put my hand towards her little car seat in the back seat. I said, Lord, your daughter's asking you to fill her. And all of a sudden it came up in me, Luke chapter 1. If the Holy Spirit filled John in the womb, then biblically speaking, why do you think abortion is so evil? Because there's some babies that just need the Spirit of God. There's some revivalists. There's some prophets. There's some apostles. She said, fill me up, God. I said, Father, you filled your servant John, and your daughter is asking you to fill her up. Would you fill her up?
It was about 30 seconds later, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm not making this up, it wasn't baby talk. I know my son, he says 4 words, he just baby talks. It wasn't baby talk, it wasn't English. It was about 20 seconds later, she lifted her hands and goes, Robo Shekere, I pray for my mommy, I pray for my daddy, I pray for my papa, I pray for my mimi. Watch, she started interceding. Watch, if God can fill John in the womb, and my daughter at 2, surely tonight he can fill a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old with the power and the presence of God. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come on, sit down. Don't make me sound better than I am, bro. Watch. The Bible says he leaped. See, the enemy is trying to keep this generation from entering the call of God on their life by keeping them in complacency. And let me tell you right now, the MTV or ET or V or BET cannot make a generation leap. There's no NBA game that can make a child leap. There's no NFL game that can make a spirit leap. It only comes from the presence of the living God.
Not yet, bro, not yet. I'm a white boy, not yet.
Hear this. Watch. In the womb, John was set in motion. Receiving the Holy Spirit is what sets a life in motion. Watch. John is in the womb of Elizabeth,
and Jesus is in the womb of Mary. Now, because I got ahead of myself, I didn't tell you all what mercy is. You can't look at mercy in the Word of God without finding the mercy seat. The mercy seat was located in the Holy of Holies. It was the deepest, most intimate place you can go. The Holy Spirit said, this is the year of mercy. This is the year that I'm taking my people to the most intimate place they've ever been.
Watch. The Holy of Holies was separated by a curtain. And that curtain kept man from going into the holy place. But Jesus was the mercy seat. Why do you think that people were always at the feet of Jesus? Because their spirits found mercy. At his feet when he's dying, at his feet washing. Why was the widow woman washing his feet with her hair with an expensive perfume? Because when she found mercy, she wasn't going to let go of it. Watch, the Bible says that Jesus became the mercy seat. He was the spotless lamb. He was the atonement sacrifice. Watch, he became the mercy seat for you and I. So watch. Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit with Jesus. Or watch, she's pregnant with mercy. Watch. And when John encounters mercy, it causes him to leap or to be set in motion for his life's call. Then he became the greatest revivalist that we've ever seen or ever known. The Bible says he was a wild man out in the wilderness declaring, prepare the way of the Lord. His message wasn't grace. His message was repentance, so they would be ready to receive grace when they met him. Watch. And the Bible says that John received mercy in the womb. Now watch this. I love the text. In John chapter 1. It says, verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. Musicians, you can come to the stage now. Coming towards him, he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one. John received mercy. And he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then his new life's call was to point a generation to mercy. Everywhere he'd go, he said, I'm not the Messiah. Play that, bro. I'm not the Messiah. But there's one coming whose sandals I'm not fit to untie. He's coming.
Oh, feel the Holy Spirit.
He's coming. There's a king that's coming. There's a mercy one that's coming. There's a mercy seat that's coming. That you bring your sin. You bring your pain. You bring your shame. You bring your sexuality. You bring your addiction. You bring your bondage. There's one that's coming, and his name is mercy.
John received mercy. And after he received mercy, he pointed an entire generation to mercy. Do you know what I prayed twice a day for 40 days over your city? I just prayed one thing. Mercy. Mercy. Let mercy fill the streets. Play that. Let mercy fill the malls. Let mercy fill the stadiums. Let mercy fill the schools. I
feel in my spirit, Pastor David, that there's going to be a mandate over this school that you've been given favor with to bring mercy into those schools, to bring mercy into the hallways. Do you know how we're going to bring mercy into Chicago? Do you know how we're going to bring mercy into Chicagoland? Do you know how we're going to bring mercy into this region? You're going to take it there, bro. Because tonight, you're going to receive the mercy of God. And then you're going to take that mercy with the fear of the Lord. And you're going to point a generation to the merciful one and filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Spirit of grace. I believe that we're going to see revival instead of riots in this city. I believe with all of my heart, the answer to this city is that tonight God is going to raise up revivalists. Tonight he's going to fill young people with the Holy Spirit. Tonight. Oh, you have no idea what you prophesied when you prophesied freedom all night long. I want to be polite and respectful, but I might start speaking in tongues a little bit, and I'm not prophesying in tongues. This is my prayer language. Come, Holy Spirit. Stand your feet all over this place. Mercy generation. Can you play that Fill Me Up? I don't know if Brother Ryan's here. Come war with me, my friend. Bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place. Not because it's scriptural, because it helps you tune out a neighbor. I feel three assignments tonight. First, mercy is the sinner's best friend. And some of you are sinners. Some of you are bound in sin. Some of you are trapped in sin. Sexual sin. Heterosexual sin. Even this week, you've been in sexual sin. I can feel it in my spirit. And the Lord wants to set you free and forgive you. Tonight, God wants to deliver you. Some of you are addicted to drugs. Some of you are selling drugs. I can feel it in my spirit. You don't even know you almost got caught by your parents. I feel that in my spirit right now. That's how you know I'm talking to you right now. You were recently almost caught by your parents, but you are a better liar. I feel you convinced your mom you weren't. Tonight, God wants to forgive you of your sin. That sin that's going to throw you into hell for all eternity. You cannot live in sin and fellowship with the Holy God. His love will never leave you, but his presence will. Adam and Eve were removed from the garden. The Bible says, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you, but you weren't in fellowship with him before you knew that. God wants to be in fellowship with you tonight. Mercy wants to bring you back in, to tear the veil, to bring you into his presence. To show you undeserved kindness. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's because he's so good. It's because he's so merciful. It's because he's full of grace. Tonight, if you say, Landon, there's sin in my life. There's sin in my life. And if I died tonight, I don't know if I wouldn't go to heaven. But it's not even about heaven or hell. It's about that in my heart, I love Jesus. I want to be right. I love God. I just keep messing up. And tonight, I just need mercy. I need His grace. I need forgiveness. No one looking around, every head bowed and every eyes closed. But there's a lot of you. You say, I'm not living right. And tonight, I want to get right. If that's you right now, lift your hand right now. Hundreds of hands all over the place. More than I can count. Put it down. Put it down. There's more of you that didn't lift your hand. You need to do it right now. Just shoot it up fast and put it down. You didn't. You didn't. You didn't. But you need to. Youth pastors, hundreds of students. I want you to pray this prayer with me as loud as you can. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance. A prayer of mercy. And then some of you are going to leap into your destiny tonight. Lift your hands to a holy God and say, Jesus, there's one name. Louder, Jesus. There's one name. There's one King. There's one God. There's one merciful one. And that's you. So I ask you, King of glory, to show me mercy. Say, Jesus, have mercy. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me of all of my sin. You know it's a lot. Come on, get real right now. Say, Lord, you know all of it. And with all of my heart, I ask you to forgive me, to wash me, to make me the righteousness of Christ. I receive by faith your mercy. I just thank him for it.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.